Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. Today, we proudly present a special edition focusing on women empowerment. Join us as we engage with a diverse group of remarkable women who will generously impart their knowledge, wisdom, and invaluable experiences. Through this episode, our aim is to inspire, ignite hope, instill strength, and empower as many women as possible. Together, let us embark on a transformative journey that enables every woman to reach her fullest potential in every aspect of her life. Economic empowerment is a catalyst for change, as it not only empowers women financially, but also provides a platform for their voices to be heard. When women have access to economic resources, they become agents of progress, fueling entrepreneurship, innovation, and sustainable development. They become role models, inspiring future generations to dream big and aim high.
Hi, everyone. I'm Selena Shands. I'm the CEO of Full Capacity Marketing. We're a national consultancy that specializes in brand storytelling, marketing communications for those in the workforce, education, and entrepreneurship sectors. A little bit about me. I've had three companies in the course of my career. I sold one and have grown this company for the past 21 years into a multi-million dollar corporation. And I'll tell you that the journey to get here was not a straight line and sometimes very difficult. During the journey, I actually took positions in a variety of companies to sort of build my skill set so I could be an entrepreneur. It definitely wasn't a straight line. And in fact, there were many barriers that probably you can relate to as women. For one, I grew up in an alcoholic family and had to overcome that. Also, finding a way to get through college, and I earned a basketball scholarship to go to a university. While I was there, I survived a near rape. I survived a domestic violence incident with a boyfriend, sexual harassment in corporation, and then a divorce that almost ruined me financially. And I share those things with you because I wanted to tell you, if I had to do it all over again to have the life I have now at 63 years old, I would do it in a second, because all of those experiences molded me into the person that I am today. So one thing I would share is, don't look at those setbacks as this is going to be the end of my life. It's like, take it and really grow from it. And we all have those challenges growing up. You know, I thought about today what I could share with you that might be of value. So I've come up with five things I wish someone had told me before I became an entrepreneur. And this applies if you're in the corporate world as well. So the first is, if you don't like the glass ceiling, you've got to move to another house. There were many times in my career where I knew my male counterparts were making more money than me for less quality of work. So instead of settling, I just moved. I changed positions. I moved to somewhere that gave me a better culture. And then when my earning potential topped out there, I started my own company. And I think women should be empowered to make bold career moves. And being an entrepreneur is the best path to get you not only unlimited earning potential, but also create a life that has work-life balance for you. And so many of us don't have that. The second tip is, being a woman CEO doesn't mean you have to do it like a man. Now, don't get me wrong. I love men. Some of my best mentors are men and supporters as well. But as women, I think we bring a unique skill set to the table that's so natural for us, like empathy, good listening skills, and the ability to multitask like a fiend. These are natural gifts that as leaders, I think we need to embrace more and help create a dynamic work environment for ourselves and others. The third tip is, just like relationships, business is personal. Now, I have heard you've got to separate out personal from business, but to me, they go together. And I know business can be sort of transactional, but long-term success really comes from building long-term relationships with staff, contractors, and customers. That takes getting to know people and what motivates them. Some of my clients have become really great friends and colleagues over the years, and I like having them as my extended family, and I think they know that they can count on us. Number four, and this is an important one, lean into your strengths and surround yourself with those who can bolster your weaknesses. When I started out, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to know everything. I have to be good at everything in order to be successful. And what my own company, all my companies have really taught me is that that's just not the case. It's understand what you're good at and lean into that, but also surround your people with those who can help you with the weaknesses and those opportunities. Really surrounding yourself with a talent that can fill those gaps so that you can be successful. And that leads me to number five, the more diversity of thought, the better the strategy. Having a team of people that have different points of view and diversity of thought is the golden ticket. Strategic conversations become way more interesting, and the end results are always better. So I hope you find those five tips successful for you. You can gather something from that and take it in your own life and really grow from them. And thanks a lot for dropping in.
This movement encompasses the belief that women have the right to make choices, to pursue their passions, and to shape their own destinies. It recognizes that when women are empowered, entire communities thrive. Their voices, perspectives, and contributions are invaluable assets that drive social, economic, and cultural progress.
Hi, team. I'm Fitz Kohler, and I'm excited to talk to you today. A little about me, I'm a fitness expert, I'm a busy keynote speaker, I am a professional race announcer. That means I host monster running events like the Los Angeles Marathon, Buffalo Marathon, and a whole bunch in between. I'm the author of the Cancer Comeback Series, and I happened to beat up on cancer a few years ago, and I'm very grateful that I did. So I was asked to talk to the ladies about doing our best as women. And two things. I think number one is that you take yourself seriously, right? So if you have goals, if you have a vision for yourself, I want you to take yourself seriously and know that you can go get this thing that you want. And it's, I feel like your mom saying, you can get whatever you want, honey, you can be whatever you want, but you have to put in the work for it, right? So I lecture to universities quite often, they're graduating seniors, and I always tell them you have to have a passion, do the thing that you're most passionate about, but passion isn't good enough. You have to learn the most. You have to practice your skill. You have to show up early, stay late, be respectful, be kind, be a delight, right? Because nobody wants to work with a grouchy person. And I really push the envelope, lean forward to being the best that you can be. Because when I started speaking, I knew when I started teaching fitness at 14 and I fell in love with fitness and I became a true believer in it, I knew I wanted to spread that message. And so I spoke a lot for free. I spoke to teeny tiny groups. I spoke to children. I spoke to anyone who would listen so I could hone the craft of speaking. And eventually that evolved into someone, I don't know, paying me $100 a speech and then so on and so on. And now I pay a whole heck of a lot of bills by talking, which is very important to me because I love spreading this message that I very much believe in. But you have to take yourself seriously. And you have to put yourself in the position to practice and become the foremost authority or the best or special, unique within your chosen field. And then the other thing I think is really not important or really is important is that we don't use our gender as a crutch, right? This woman thing is not a more pathetic thing. I think it's pretty great. It's so great that I don't have to tell people hiring that I'm a woman. When I'm a professional race announcer. So this field that I do is filled with men. Mostly men do race announcing. I never show up to a race director and say, hey, do you need a female voice? Screw that, ladies. I am not a woman's voice. I am the best voice. If someone wants to hire a professional race announcer and expect the greatest experience, the most rowdy start line, the most warm and loving and energetic finish line, the most professional experience, I'm their person, forget that I'm their girl. I never use my lady parts as a stepping stone or as an excuse for not getting work or as an incentive for someone to hire me because I'm better than that, right? So I want you to take yourself seriously. And then I want you to take yourself seriously. And then when it comes to asking for a reasonable wage, that's your job. It's my job. You know, I think there's only an income gap now because women are accepting less. So stop. You have to put real value on your products, on your services. If you do not value your products and services, nobody else will. So is it scary to ask for money? Sure. Is it uncomfortable? Sure. But I talked myself out of my fear of asking for money and opportunities way long ago. I used to be a competitive kickboxer. Why? I don't know. But I was real bold in a ring. But when it came to business, I was chicken poop. You know what I'm saying? I was chicken poop. And I finally realized that, you know, I do all these brave things in a ring surrounded by thousands of people and this person who wants to knock me out. But then when it came to business, I was afraid to make phone calls. And so my mantra is always, if it does not cause bleeding, bruising or broken bones, I'm in. I go for it. I do not let fear stand in my way. And you know what? After cancer, nothing is scary. So hopefully you don't have to have cancer and you don't have to go and stand in the middle of a ring with someone who wants to knock you out. But you should not be afraid to ask for your worth financially. And then if they say no, say, okay, it's okay to walk away. And if you are worth your weight in whatever specialty you have found, they will come back and say, wait, we changed your mind. We're going to meet you where you want to be. So that's my advice. Take yourself seriously and take yourself seriously. And while women, we should support each other. You know, I choose the people I support based on the merit system exclusively. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what color you are, what race you, what religion you pray or what is in your pants. I will choose excellent people to surround myself with at all times. And that's lifting me up. And that's also going to lift up a bunch of other women. So go get them. I believe in you. Thanks for your time.
Gone are the days when women were confined to predefined roles. Today, they are breaking barriers and forging their own paths. Women entrepreneurs are emerging as drivers of innovation, launching startups, and creating employment opportunities. They bring fresh perspectives, resilience, and a unique ability to address market gaps with their products and services.
Hi, I'm Anna Rieger, and I'm the founder of Fliplock. I didn't start out as a founder of any company, actually. When I was young, I was the oldest of seven. I left home when I was 14. My father was legally blind and my mom was trying to work and take care of the family. And I thought it'd be a lot easier on the family if I was not there. So I moved out and I started taking care of special needs kids. And that's pretty much how I survived. And the lady that worked there before, she mentored me and told me that I should, she was actually the foster mom, that I should go back to school. But going back to college was never an option for me because I didn't go to high school. So fast forward, I get in a car accident, given my last rites. They tell me I'm not going to make it. Somebody else passes away in the car accident. And instead of giving up and saying I can never do anything and not going for different things, I decided in that moment that I was going to go and pursue college, even though I didn't go to high school, which I didn't know if I could. So what I did was I went to the community college in the area and I took my college level entry test. And they said I was at college level at everything except for math. Well, I didn't go to high school, so it made sense. So I'll go to college. I'm going to be a nurse. I want to take care of special needs children when I graduate. And when I got into my university, because I got my associates in science from HCC, the community college in Houston. Then I went on to go to University of Houston to try to get my bachelor's. And when I went to do my bachelor's degree for nursing, I realized that I needed to take a lot of clinicals and that was going to cost me a lot of time away from work, which I couldn't do. And so what I did was I took a couple of business classes, and in those business classes, I absolutely loved everything about it. And I was like, wow, you know, and so I graduated University of Houston with my bachelor's of science with a minor in business and entrepreneurship. And from there, I met my now husband, which was my partner at the time. I started a business with him. We took that business and we grew it. And then I went on to start real estate business. I took a real estate property and grew that property. And then from there, I started growing other businesses. Now, as a woman, growing businesses is very difficult for you to start thinking about, where do I go? What do I do? Who do I, you know, talk to? And in the beginning, I did have a support, which was my, you know, now husband, who helped me along the way. But I also had a lot of women, believe it or not, that were, you know, instrumental in helping me. And I think that's important as a woman, for you to go and really try to find women that connect, that want to lift up, that want to support you. And even men, a lot of people are giving men, you know, this, oh, it's just the men against the women. But really, truthfully, I think you can find some really great men mentors. Men in the world, we need them. I love men. I think it's great to have a man, a mentor, a friend. I've done a lot of business with a lot of men along the ways now. In all my experiences I've had, you know, they are very, you know, concise. And I think the main thing is when you go into a meeting with a man, you really need to own your power. You walk in there, you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about and you're not confident, they're not going to listen to you. And that doesn't mean just a man. That's also women in business. Nobody wants to listen to somebody second guess themselves. You're here to sell me or talk to me or give me an idea or something you want from me. Know your product. Know what you're doing. Be the expert. My biggest advice is be the expert in anything you do. You don't need an expert because you should know what you're doing. Go into business and make sure you do your homework. Who are your competitors? What do you need to do? Who is your target market? Who's your target audience? Who can you help? Who can help you? Why would somebody want to use your product or company or you over everybody else? What's your unique selling point? And I think that's important for people to realize that there is no shortcut. There is no easy way to do anything. You have to work. You have to do your homework. That was when I was in school, I had to do my homework. When I started doing business, I had to do my homework. Now in my new businesses, I'm always doing homework, but I'm always most importantly connecting. I think a lot of people don't realize how powerful it is to connect with your peers, to connect with people. If there's somebody you want to meet, call them. The worst they could say is no, they don't want to help you or they don't want to talk to you. But you may get that one person that will answer the call and talk to you and try to give you some advice or try to help you or even give you a meeting if you're lucky. And I, you know, my one story I'll share in business is we were doing website designs, and I was going to go sell this website design that we did for a big oil company. When I walked into the room, John, my partner at the time, couldn't make it. So it was just me, and I really wasn't prepared to go in by myself, but I said, I'm going to do it. And I put my big girl underwear pants on, and I went in there and I said, I am going to close this deal in my mind. When I walked in there, it was a giant conference room, and there were about seven men, and I was the only female and the only minority in the entire room. So yeah, that was really fun. But again, I had my confidence. I knew what I was talking about. I knew every detail of everything that I needed to be focused on for my design. And I went in there and I had two other competitors who had I had pretty much a website done, because I don't like to show up half fast. I like to be prepared. I don't want you to imagine and dream and think about what I'm going to do for you. I want you to see it right there. If I got this meeting, I'm going to make sure I come with my A game. And so I did. And these other two companies were big companies, but they didn't have anything compared to what I had. And I knew it in that moment. However, you know, because I was a woman and because, you know, I felt, you know, because I was a minority and I wasn't part of the clique that was at the table, I felt a little intimidated, but I never let it show And I always stayed my ground and held my ground and talked and spoke. I didn't let other people overspeak me. I didn't sit back and wait for them to give me a written invitation to talk. I took the opportunity. This is what I'm here to do. This is why you want to go with us. And this is what we're going to do for you. And these are the things. And I gave them my reasons and I gave them my company experience. I did all my work. And I left that meeting with a deal. And it was a big deal for us. And, you know, had I not gone in there prepared, had I not gone in there with the confidence, I would have been very intimidated and maybe wouldn't have even spoken up enough to be able to get the deal, to be able to get them to see that just because I'm a female representing my company, that did not mean that my company was any less valuable than any of the others that were at the table. And trust me, the other competitors were very big companies. And so it was intimidating to go, you know, they had these magical folders and this overpriced stuff they were giving away of like trinkets. I didn't have that. But what I had was they wanted a website. I put up my computer and showed them a website and they didn't have all their stuff like that, but I did. And so I think that made a difference to be that much more concise, to be that much more prepared, got me the deal over everybody else. You know, and I think that having those kinds of things and preparedness is your best friend. And it's also your confidence. If you know what you're talking about and you breathe it and you live it and you think about it every day, you will absolutely not get stumped. There are no bad questions. There are no scary questions. There's only questions and answers. And you need to have the answers to every question. Think about those questions. And if you get a question and you're not 100% sure, I will get back to you on that question and I will email you an answer right away. I don't have all that information in front of me, but I can send it to you absolutely when I get to my office and I speak to my team about that particular question that you asked. Something like that. You don't want to go, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say. I really don't know. You have to be very positive that you're going to get that answer and you're going to have it and you're going to be prepared and they're going to be happy to hear it. And absolutely, when you get to your office, I don't care what you have waiting for you, you get on that email, you get that answer and you send it back to everybody in that meeting, including the competitors if you're included on that group meeting when they're all going to be there, which I was at one point in another meeting. So I think that being prepared is really important. If you can find a group of people that you can connect with and collaborate with, that's so powerful. I have a tribe of women that I lean on for support. We are entrepreneurs, international entrepreneur women, and we get together every week on a Zoom call and then twice a year. And what we do, we laugh, we cry, we share our wins and we share our not wins. We share our fears, we share our frustrations. And in that, we come out so much more empowered. And I encourage women, find your tribe, find your group of women and people that lift you up. But always try to make sure that you find people that are doing more than you. You don't want to always connect with people that are just doing what you're doing. It's good to do that. I like to do that. I love to help other people learn, but it's also good to have people that have been a little further in their game, in their business world. So that way they can support you in a way that you probably didn't think about. And if you are able to, and you really are interested in self-growth, I think there's never a time for you to not be able to develop yourself as a person. I mean, reading, learning. I am now speaking for my company, FlipLock, for advocating for school safety. And I have taken speaking classes and hired coaches and whatever I could do to make myself be that much more presentable. And I see it as an investment in not only myself, but in my company. So if you're supposed to get up and do speaking, you should definitely try to get some speaking in. Go outside of your comfort zone, not only with your friends and family. It needs to be people that are going to give you real live feedback. That is the most important thing, to get people that are going to tell you the hard things. Not just, oh, that was great. You're great. You're great. You don't need that. You need people to say, well, I really think you could do this. And this is where I see you could improve. That's how you grow. And it's uncomfortable, but I always say you got to get uncomfortable to get better. And you have to learn. And you know, sometimes you're going to fail. Yes. But if you don't try, you'll never fail. And all I say is when that happens, you won't make the same mistake twice. You will not make the same mistake twice. If I go on a show and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? I don't know what I'm going to do. And if I mess up, well, I promise you, whatever I don't do right in that one, I won't do it again in the second one. I'll make sure to learn from that mistake. And that's really big. Always learning. Nobody knows everything about all the time about anything. So what can you do to grow yourself, your team, if you have employees? How can you grow your team? How can you empower them to make decisions to help you grow and grow your company? Or whatever that is for you. It could be even taken into your family. I believe in self-care. For me, I have 6 kids and my youngest is a little girl and she's in middle school now, like 5th grade. And, you know, what can I do to spend time with her on top of working? And self-care is important. What do? I might go get my nails done. I might try to get a massage. I might try to meditate. I do meditate twice a week. It's so important when you're in a go, go, go mentality. It's really good to take some time out for yourself to give your body a reset. Meditate, yoga, whatever that looks like for you. You know, whatever that is, you really need to listen and do that because that's what helps you grow as a person. And that's what keeps you in your zone of genius, if you will. I have a coach and she always says, you want to stay in the flow while you don't want to stay in the go. You want to be productive from a state of flow, which basically is instead of run, I can get there the same way, but I can pace myself. I don't need to always be running, right? That's important for women to be able to find the way that they can support themselves physically, mentally, emotionally, because we have to recharge. It's just like they tell you on the airplane, you know, you have to put the mask on first before you can help others. Well, you have to take care of yourself first. You are the most important thing. And for moms, I'm guilty. Everybody else is more important than us. But then what happens when you don't do that? Your body will do it for you. You'll get sick. But sicknesses do not care what meetings you have, what appointments you have. You're sick. You're out. You're done. And what does that mean? That means I wasn't providing self-care to my body and I wasn't listening. So I think that when you do those things, you have a lot less of burnout. You have a lot less of sickness. You have a lot less of those things, especially if you add in exercise and eating healthy, because that will keep you fueled for what it is that you're trying to do. As a mom, we run ourselves, you know, everywhere. You're at work. You got to come home. You got to take care of kids. You got to drive them to their stuff. You have to get them food. You have to do so many chores that people make look easy, but really it takes a toll on us. And we really have to take care of ourselves. And that's my biggest key thing to tell you is please take care of yourself. Because if you take care of yourself, you can take on the world. But when you're sick and you can't, it's because you haven't taken care of yourself. And yourself is the most important thing. You have to look at you as number one because you're the foundation. Then your home is your next foundation. And then from there, you can build whatever it is you put your mind to. And I believe that because I came from absolutely nothing. And I have several successful businesses. And I'm now working on a company that's more of a mission for me. And I think that whatever it is, you put your heart and soul into it. You do your best. You do your homework. And you will be successful. You will be successful. And the right people will find you. You will attract those kind of people. You will attract people that want to help you. You will attract doors that will open that you never thought could open, will open for you. But you have to do the work. And that includes self-care.
In the face of life's challenges, resilience thrives. It begins with the mindset, choosing to see obstacles as opportunities for growth. Surround yourself with a supportive network that uplifts and inspires. Nurture your well-being through self-care, finding balance and strength within. And with unwavering determination, persevere through setbacks, knowing that resilience is the key to triumph in every aspect of life.
Hi, everybody. My name is Karen Dean. I'm a resilience expert, an inspiring speaker, and a best-selling author. Also an entrepreneur, a success coach, and my most important job, I'm a mom. My story is huge, but I have a Canadian best-selling book. I've run businesses in so many different industries over the years. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 8 years old. And I've successfully intertwined my life and my businesses. I'm a completely solo mom. And I think that's something we really work hard to do as moms, is to try to incorporate life and business together. So I've had a lot of success with that. And I want to share with you the tools that I share with my clients and in my books about resilience. I have 7 steps that I like to say are kind of the keys to resilience in life and in our businesses. The first thing, when we face any challenge, whether it's in our business or in our personal lives, first thing we need to do is breathe. And I know that sounds really silly because we breathe every second of every day. But if you get faced with something, either someone has said something to you or you're faced with a challenge in your business, stop for a minute and take 5 really deep breaths and only think about breathing. Don't think about whatever that challenge or problem is. And I promise you, you will approach it from a healthier place after you've taken those 5 deep breaths. So try to remember that breathing is so important. Conscious breathing is so important to making healthier and more successful choices in our lives. The next thing is set boundaries with people in our personal lives, with people in our business lives, and also with people on social media. If the people that you surround yourself with are not building you up, cheering you on, bringing you joy, then you don't need them in your life. And that's really hard sometimes, especially when they're family, but it's necessary. It is necessary to reach the level of success that you dream of. They always say that you are the combination of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So remember to make those 5 people really incredible. The next thing is that we are all perfectly imperfect. There is no such thing as perfection. We see so much on social media about people with perfect bodies, perfect businesses. They're so successful. We're only seeing the highlight reel. So remember that they are also imperfect, as are all of us. And remember to cheer yourself on. And even when you face a challenge, use it as a growth opportunity. There is something to learn from every failure that we make, from every mistake that we make. Find the good in it. Also, number 4 on my list is focus on what you want. From the time we are small children, we are programmed by other people's voices about who we should be, what we should do, what we should wear, what job we should have, everything. But I want you to really sit down and think about, what do I want? What do I want in my life? And then go after that, not what your parents wanted or your husband wanted or your wife wanted, or what do you want? And focus on that. Number 5 is find happiness every day. Some days are going to be really hard. Some days you're going to face challenges that you never thought you would ever face. But there's happiness somewhere in that. There is good somewhere in that. I have been through some things that I never in a million years dreamt that I would ever have to face. And there's always been good. So no matter what it is, make sure you look for the good. You might have to look really hard, but it's there. The 6th thing is to feel the feelings. So many times we bottle our feelings up inside and think that makes us stronger, but it really doesn't. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to feel that fear. In order to be really resilient and reach our biggest success, we need to acknowledge what we're feeling. We need to figure out how to walk through it. And then we get to that level of success that we dream of. It's the only way. Bottling up inside just makes us explode later, and we never want that to happen. And the 7th thing, and they're not in any particular order of importance. They're just the things on my list. But the 7th thing that's on the list is to speak kindly to yourself. The voice we hear more than any other voice is the voice in our own heads. So make sure we are saying kind things. And when you look at yourself in the mirror or just want to talk in your own head and it's something negative, I want you to stop and think. Would I say that to my 5-year-old self? Would I say that to my best friend? Would I say that to anybody else? So if you wouldn't say it to somebody else or a little person, don't say it to yourself. Build yourself up, because you are the most important person for you. And if you don't build yourself up, it's really hard to look after everybody else and your business. So those are the tools that I share through my coaching, through my books, through my business. You can find out more at KarenDeanSpeaks.com. And I want you to remember those and use them to make your life the most successful it can be.
To all the women seeking purpose, growth, and fulfillment in their careers, know that the possibilities are endless. Break free from the chains of self-doubt and societal expectations and forge a path that aligns with your passions, talents, and aspirations.
So hello, my name is Tanya Brown. I am a real estate investor, and my focus is mainly on mortgage notes. For those who may not be familiar with mortgage notes, what that is you becoming the bank. So essentially, I purchase mortgage notes from banks, from hedge funds, from brokers, other note investors and I basically take over people's mortgages. So I buy debt and I become the bank. So it's kind of a different concept in real estate investing, but also have done rental properties. I've done a little bit of wholesaling. I've done fix and flips. And so I've kind of run the gamut when it comes to real estate and real estate investing. But I sort of found my niche in note investing and becoming the bank, because that's kind of the big boys of real estate investing. And so as a woman going into this field, ironically, I was actually taught and trained by a female who got into this industry. She had her background in Wall Street. I didn't have a background in Wall Street. I have an MBA, but the reason I got my MBA is because I knew that, you know, finance and math and business, it wasn't a strong point of mine. So I said, well, let me go back to school and find out, you know, what it is I need to know, kind of fit the puzzles together and I guess fill in the blanks of what I didn't know. And so I went back to school to get all of that information, and then come to find out really the best way to get trained is not necessarily to go back and spend $30,000-$40,000 on an MBA, but to get real world experience and to find a mentor. And so I just happened to come across a mentor. She was a female mentor who knew about note investing, and not a lot of people know about it. And this is what banks have been doing for years. You know, the big rollers and the people who are, you know, rich people, they've been doing this for years. And now it's kind of trickling down to the everyday person, where you can buy somebody's mortgage, sit on your couch, and collect their mortgage payments month after month as passive income. So it wasn't difficult getting into this field simply because I did have someone who I guess trailblazed and was ahead of me. But there aren't many people or many females in real estate investing. More are coming into the field, but you know, mainly females are sort of reserved. They're not reserved, but they focus on their families, right? We focus on our families. We focus on getting the education. We're concerned about everybody else, right? Making sure that your husband or your boyfriend or your significant other, they're supported and that they're taken care of. And then you focus on yourself last. And so a lot of people wait, or a lot of females, they'll wait until their 40s, their 50s, and even their 60s before they jump into saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm about to retire. Or wait a minute, the child is getting out of school. What's my next step? What's the next level? And so that's kind of where I was in that path going toward, I'm getting ready to retire. What's the next step? And to be honest with you, I sort of got tired of the 9-to-5. I got tired of the drag of the 9-to-5, the 40-hour work week. And then, you know, just it's the same routine over and over and over again. And I got tired of it. And that's what kind of moved me over into real estate investing. I said, I want to live the life I want to live, how I want to live it, do what I want to do in my free time and have free time. And that's what most people say when they want to be millionaires, right? They say, I want to be a millionaire. But what they're really saying is, I want to have my freedom to do what I want when I want. You know, I don't want to have to ask my boss, can I take 2 hours leave because my child has a game that I need to go to, right? Nobody wants to do that. So I found the way to go into real estate investing and have my freedom. And that's what it's really offered. And actually, this year is when I'm separating from my 9-to-5 job. I'm separating from it. And I'm actually able to live that life of freedom. And that's what it has given me. So I encourage a lot of women to go out and I guess if you have the time and the ability to learn different ways in which you can get that passive income, something that's going to excite you, you know, and I encourage everybody, just something that's going to excite you. Follow your excitement. You know, and we always think about, well, I have this bill, I have that bill, I have this bill, and I've got to do this, and I've got to work, and I've got to get up, and I've got to trudge. But when it becomes burdensome and when it becomes difficult for you to get up every single morning, go to that job because it's not what you're passionate about. It's not what you want to do. Then it's time to switch course. And it may not be real estate. It may be something else. It may be starting your own business. It may be buying a business. It may be, you know, just stopping what you're doing and volunteering for a few hours. Whatever is going to satisfy that urge that feels like you're being fulfilled, that's what you need to go after. And that's what you need to seek. Because otherwise, you're not fulfilling what you were put on earth to do. And if you're not fulfilling that passion and that desire, that thing that makes you uniquely you, then it's almost like, why am I here? Right. And that was where I was. I wanted to fulfill my plan, the plan that God has for my life. What is it? And I need to find it. I need to go after it. And that became seeking and following the excitement. Seeking and following what I'm good at. What am I uniquely good at that nobody else is good at? What am I able to accomplish that other people aren't able to accomplish? And I followed that excitement and I followed that dream. And now it's led me to freedom. And now I'm on the path to whatever is next. I'm just excited about it because it's all for my good and I'm looking forward to it. So I just encourage people to continue moving forward, continue to pursue what you're good at, continue to pursue your dreams. Don't give up on them. Don't let family and naysayers and everybody else just, you know, cut down your dream because their path is not your path. You need to follow your path no matter what anybody else says, because your path is going to lead you to that satisfaction, that fulfillment, and to whatever it is that you've been placed on this earth to do. So thank you so much. I appreciate you allowing me to ramble on. But thank you so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it. And I hope that this helps somebody.
To the brave and resilient women who have endured the darkness of abusive relationships and the suffocation of professional entrapment, you are not defined by your past, but by the strength you embody in rising above it. Through courage and determination, you have the power to break free, heal, and create a life filled with joy, success, and empowerment. Remember, your journey is a testament to the indomitable spirit within you. And there is a radiant future waiting for you to embrace. You are worthy of greatness, and you hold the keys to unlock your own happiness and fulfillment.
Hi, my name is Nancy Erickson, and my company is called The Book Professor. We help people to write and publish what we call high-impact nonfiction books that will either save lives, change lives, or transform society, which is really fun work, but that's not what I originally set out to do in my career. For over 30 years, I had a career in high tech and worked for IBM and Oracle. And while they provided a great income, I hated it. For a long time, I hated it. And what I want to talk to you about today is, as women, we have so many opportunities to reinvent ourselves. You know, we have certain talents and gifts that may apply in our younger years or in our middle years, but we can always make a turn. I enjoy a very successful and lucrative business now. And I work for myself, which I love, but I want to tell you something that at the time I was starting this business, I was in the middle of an abusive marriage and I was just launching into my 3 years of uncontrollable drinking when I realized that I was an alcoholic. And even despite those things, I was able to start a business. I joined AA. I've been sober for 17 years now, and I walked my way out of that marriage and into a life that I actually love. And women, we are not trapped. You are not stuck where you are. You have all kinds of capabilities. You have all kinds of options. So don't stay trapped in a job you don't like, in a relationship that is harmful, and don't stay trapped doing something that you don't enjoy doing, because, you know, they say life is short. Mine's getting shorter. I'm closer to the finish line than the beginning. But we have so many capabilities and you have so many options available to you. Just grab them and run.
Women empowerment is not a destination. It is an ongoing process. Together, let us embark on this transformative journey, weaving a future where the potential of every woman is unleashed and the power of equality shines bright. Thank you for listening to this special episode on Women Empowerment. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or give a star review on Spotify. It's a good way for other people to discover the podcast.